Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, and Arizona. From boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today to receive a $1,000 risk-free sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit and receive up to $500 in bonus cash. Head on over to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app today. And next, we're brought to you by Better Fantasy. Better Fantasy is a free-to-play app that allows you to bet on all your favorite NFL player props for a chance to win awesome prizes. Download the app today over at betterfantasy.com/SGPN. That's BETTOR, fantasy.com/SGPN. And finally, we're brought to you by SoBet. Sign up to bet against your friends and join the social betting revolution at SoBet.io/SGPN. That's SoBet.io/SGPN. And of course, don't forget to download the SGPN app. It's your home for all of our free picks and podcasts. Download the SGPN app wherever it is you download apps.
Howdy ho, DeGenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 107 by my count. Let's send this one out to the UFC because they're finally back, baby, with a fight card that's being decimated as we speak, right before we recorded, and probably as we're recording, it's being decimated even more. But it's a fight card, and when you starve us of fight cards for almost a month, or maybe it has been a month. No, not quite. But anyhow, when you starve us that long, then we'll watch whatever you put on. So maybe that's something to remember, UFC. The amount of fight cards you put on. But anyhow, UFC, this one goes out to you. I would be your host, Jeff Fox. How are you? Thanks for coming to this here pod, the only podcast that dedicated to the prelim portion. Wait a minute, wrong podcast. Because that would be so silly to have a podcast that you only break down prelim fights. That can't be a moneymaker. But anyhow, no, we break down prelim fights and main card fights, and we tell you who to bet on. And this is a brand new season because this is the first UFC fight card of 2022. I very heroically held off my associate co-host and won last season's both most correct picks, and I lost the least amount of money. But this slate has been cleaned like in the olden days with the chalk and the chalkboards and stuff like that. And we're back at zero, and we're switching up how we're doing some of our picks this year. Thanks to a listener of ours on Twitter, maybe this will give my co-host a little more of a chance to actually be competitive here. Let's introduce him now. He might sound smart, but the numbers say otherwise. He's the mountain man from Massachusetts. I said it wrong on purpose. He would be Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
I like that you claim to have said it wrong on purpose. Yep. Maybe it is really lucky that we had some of these cancellations because some of these names were not going to be kind to you. I really badly wanted to hear you say Sed Yakob Kakramanov, but
I was looking forward to saying cock, so I was looking forward to saying Kakramanov. So that was I'm sad that the cock ran off and is not going to be fighting. Yeah, that fight just fell through. As we're about to record, Dan's telling me that there's been carnage and there are still some other fights that are up in the air. So
I can give a quick update if that makes sense for the beginning of the episode too. So for those of you who may not be following people closely on Twitter to get updates, earlier today, TJ Brown's opponent, who was supposed to be Gabriel Benitez, was pulled from the fight. No reason given, but Charles Rosa bravely signed a brand new UFC contract because he was not under contract anymore and stepped up to take that fight. So that fight is going to go on as scheduled. However, it will go on up a weight class. I believe it's going to happen at 155 pounds. So we'll be breaking down that one for you. Vanessa Demopoulos and Silvana Gomez-Juarez has been completely pulled from this fight card. Vanessa Demopoulos just recently announced it on her Instagram. However, they're looking to reschedule that one for next weekend. So I assume it's just a protocol issue with one of the two fighters, but it seems like both of them are good and healthy and ready to go. Brian Kelleher's opponent, Sadyakob Krokhromanov, who we just mentioned, has been pulled from the fight card. We know it was him, although we don't know exactly the reason why, although I'm sure many of you can guess. But we know it's him because Brian Kelleher accepted an opponent on just 3 days' notice. Kevin Kroom, the hard-hitting hillbilly, has stepped in to fight. That fight's going to happen up at 145 pounds, which is actually where Kevin Kroom typically fights, right? Because he fought Alex Caceres there not all that long ago. So Brian Kelleher going to step up a weight class, take a short notice opponent there. And then the only other one that we are still kind of up in the air about is Joe Anderson Brito. Was supposed to be making his pro debut. However, he did not show up to media day today due to an inconclusive COVID test. They're waiting to get the second results back. So that fight feels like it's kind of going to be pulled against Bill Algeo, but they still are holding out hope that it may remain. So I'll be keeping an eye on that as we record in case we get to that fight, which was supposed to be on the main card, and it gets pulled last second. So there is your current and very crazy update for what's going on at UFC Vegas 46.
You're going to throw it back to me now? Go ahead.
I feel like when I
stop you, Jeff.
That automatically throws it back to you because there's nobody else here.
It sounded like a news report to me. Back to, so, now I'm back. And if that isn't enough, people who bought tickets for UFC 272 may be a little upset right now because they lost. They went from two title fights to no title fights. Instead, we have a Colby Covington versus Jorge Masvidal grudge match is going to be the main event there. Do you think that would make people upset, or do you think people would be like, cool, a grudge match? Because the card is much weaker than it was. It's lost other fights, too.
I guess it sort of depends. First of all, were tickets already on sale?
Sometimes it's March 5th, so maybe.
Yeah, sometimes they're
Let's
a little
just pretend
late.
It was. Okay?
They're a little late about posting tickets. But I would say if their tickets were on sale, I would say I guess people flood to them quick, especially when it's a live event, right? Because those are limited nowadays. I would say maybe 50-50. Like, most people who are going to a live event or a live UFC are just excited they're going to a live UFC. Like, I don't know how many listeners here have ever been to one, but, like, the environment of it, whether it's being headlined by Conor McGregor, which I've been to a Conor McGregor headline card, and it feels big, and the fucking stadium shakes, or, you know, I was in Long Island for a Chris Weidman main event back when he was a big deal, and, man, that felt like, you know, the Super Bowl was happening in Long Island. That gets, you know, like, I'm at a live event. Those feel just as significant as when I saw, like, Marlon Moraes versus Jimmy Rivera in Utica. You know, which is not a big name headliner. So I think people who buy tickets for those are just excited they're going to one of those. And there seems to be a promise that UFC 272 is also going to have a banger of a co-main event. There's word that that's going to be Dustin Poirier versus Nate Diaz.
Really?
Yeah, it's out there as a rumor right now. There's a couple of sources. And I will also say this. That card still has a ton of bangers on it, too. That card has got Yan Xiaonan versus Marina Rodriguez, which is a crazy good fight. It's got Bryce Mitchell versus Edson Barboza, which is super fun. It's got Jessica Ai versus Manon Fiorot, so you're going to get to see Manon Fiorot finally get her step up. Kevin Holland's fighting on that card. Like, there's just, like, a lot of fun fights on that card anyway. So, like, if that one does wind up getting Nate versus Dustin Poirier in the co-main event, yeah, dude, I think, you know, I wasn't all that excited for Jan versus Sterling too. Like I don't know about you. And yeah, Volkanovski versus Korean Zombie, which I guess is official now, is a good fight. But I think Volkanovski's gonna wipe the floor with him. So yeah, they might wind up with a better fight card at the end of the day anyway.
It's true, and people are. Like you talked about going to live events, people are basically buying into the brand UFC, not necessarily the who's on the fight card. Obviously, it's if it's Conor McGregor, then there's certain names that people will gain more attention from people. But obviously, it's the three letters UFC that are the big deal here. So yeah, if we do get Poirier and Diaz. Who I predicted at least one Diaz would fight this year, that would make me win that bet very, very early in the year. That would make this a banger of a card, as Dan would say. Now, the aforementioned two title fights that were supposed to be on this card have been bumped ahead to UFC 273 on April the 9th. So, but instead of Max Holloway, we are, as Dan mentioned, we're getting the Korean Zombie Chan Sung Jung versus Alexander Volkanovski, and then the co-main event is going to be the title unification Piotr Jan and Aljamain Sterling. Did they really say why both those fights were bumped ahead?
Well, so it sounds a little bit like, I guess there's been a back and forth between Aljamain Sterling and Piotr Jan. Sterling seems to claim that the UFC told him that Jan was not going to be ready on time. And then Jan seemed to dispute that by saying that they were looking for somebody else to weigh in and be a backup for that fight just in case, or maybe the card, you know, the UFC 260 or 273 card maybe already has like a backup looking guy on that card just in case, which I obviously haven't dug too much into UFC 273 yet, but like maybe they're trying to line that up just in case something's wrong with Aljo's neck still, or, you know, all that kind of nonsense. But there's been some back and forth about that. I also think Korean Zombie probably played a factor into this. You know, having enough time to prepare for somebody like Alexander Volkanovski is a big deal. I'm assuming he just said, sign me up for the fight. I really want to. Is there any way we can make this happen in April? And, you know, I'm sure Volkanovski was willing to do it to get the bigger named opponent in Korean Zombie versus, you know, fighting in March against Josh Emmett. No offense to Josh Emmett in his 4-fight winning streak, but I'd say Korean Zombie moves the needle a little bit more, so to speak.
It's all about the needle movers. You know, the big loser in all of this is the man who's headlining this weekend, Giga Chikadze. If he wins this fight, he wins impressively, you got to think he's, third in line now for a title fight? We got Korean Zombie. Depending on if Korean Zombie wins his title fight, then usually you'd have an automatic rematch. And then you have Max Holloway, who's already given the title shot and had to back out. So you think he would be ahead of Chikadze in line. So yeah, it's his hopes of a title shot soon seem to have gone up in smoke here.
I think a little bit yes and a little bit no. You know, on one sense, like right now we're seeing, you know, I'm assuming a lot of these pullouts and a lot of these things are due to the Omicron spread and all that kind of stuff. So if that is true, I mean, I can't imagine they would get all the way to UFC in, you know, 273 in April and not have Giga Chikadze weigh in for that fight, right? And fill in possibly if Korean Zombie were to test positive or a member of his team would. You have to imagine he'd be ready for that. So that's already on the table. And that's already a potential option. He's actually said before to me in interviews that he, offered to weigh in for a lightweight title fight as a backup fighter, which the UFC like obliged him for, said to be on standby or something like that. So, he's down for that kind of shit usually. And I'll also say this, we don't know what Max Holloway's injury is. You know, did Max Holloway, you know, tweak a hip flexor, or did Max Holloway, you know, hyperextend his elbow, or did Max Holloway tear his ACL? Like all we've heard so far is he re-damaged a pre-existing injury. We have no idea what part of the body it is. We have no idea the severity of that re-injury. He could be out for 8 months. And if that's the case, I think Giga with an impressive win could still wind up with the winner of Max Holloway in Korean Zombie.
Lots of things up in the air. Lots of moving parts, as another podcast says. Now, I guess we can. I guess that's pretty much it, right? That's it for the podcast. We covered all the news. We can put her to bed. I guess they do some ad reads, and then we're good, right?
It is a that was a crazy lot of background we had to do for a fight card. We had 5 weeks to prepare for.
Exactly. I know. That's the thing. I did. Of course, I crammed it in last night at like 2 a.m. instead of preparing for it. But yeah. And even that apparently was too soon.
Too early.
yes, too early. I try to wait last minute for these things and didn't wait long enough because as we speak, we may be losing fights. But anyhow, well, we're up to, 10 fights then, right? At this point, am I math correct here?
It looks like 10, yes, I think.
Maybe 9, we'll see. But maybe if what's-his-face, Brito, or Beto, is it Beto or Brito? Brito, if Brito can't.
If I told you both of your pronunciations was wrong?
Oh yeah,
it's Brito.
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 Then it should be a U at the end of it. Should it
oh,
not?
I know it should, but it's very much Brito.
But if he backs out, who's to say that they don't have someone filling for him? So this is so silly, Dan. It's COVID-19, not COVID-22. I've been telling people for months. It's over, right? I've been telling everyone it's over. Just get over it. There is no more. The pandemic's over, okay?
Yeah, and if that one gets pulled, it's down to 9. And I would also say this, we don't know how reliable the Charles Rosa situation is right now because last I knew he was being flown into Vegas. You know, who knows what that's going to look like. And I have no idea the status of Kevin Kroom or why he was even remotely ready for this fight. I don't know the status of him either. So,
we're breaking it down anyway, Dan.
Yeah, but you could see 3 fall off. This might be a 7-fight fight card. You might see an Invicta-style card right now.
Which is happening in a couple hours, or maybe as you listen to it, it could be happening as you're hearing these words are hitting your ear. So, all right, we should get into this fight card before it totally changes again, and everything we did would be out of date, like a certain podcast I listened to this morning, which is totally out of date. Prelim Primer, which I was joking to before.
Maybe skip it this week.
Prelim, great. I was joking about it not being a relevant podcast, and now you're saying skip it? No, Prelim Primer is very
good.
I
recorded it yesterday. We recorded it on Tuesday, and it dropped early this morning. It's got TJ Brown still fighting Benitez. It's got Brian Keller and Kakramanov. It's got Silvana Juarez Gomez in there. Yeah, it's what a mess.
Hey, it's a good podcast. It confused me more on some of my picks because you guys seem to disagree on quite a few, and so it kind of didn't solidify. It didn't give me what I was looking for, Dan. Let's put it that way.
Well, that's good. That's good. I like to keep you on your toes.
I know. Well, I'll do it live, as it famously was said before. I will do it live. All right, let's tell you about a couple of our sponsors, shall we? Because they keep the lights on here in our MMA Gambling. I forget the name of our podcast always. The MMA Gambling Podcast Studios. Multiple studios in international studios. One in Canada, one in the U.S. So that costs a lot of money, folks. So make sure you head over to WinBet. Ready to win money and boost your odds. WinBet is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. Sadly, there's no MMA gambling podcast studios in any of those states. We're bringing the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards right at your fingertips. Get in all your favorite teams, players, and sports from NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, golf, MMA, WNBA, college football, and more. Plus, WynnBET has some brand new bonuses. Bet $5, win $400 in free bets. Plus, you can win a VIP trip to Shaq's Funhouse in LA, which we've confirmed is Shaquille O'Neal. I've looked at the picture. It is the Shaquille O'Neal guy. Bet $20 on WynnBET's Build Your Own Bet feature and earn a chance to win a once-in-a-lifetime experience for the big game. You and 3 guests will receive a VIP experience at Shaq's Funhouse, 2 nights at Wynn Las Vegas, and a $5,000 free bet at Wynn Las Vegas Sportsbook and a $5,000 travel credit. Is Shaquille O'Neal more popular now than when he played? Is it possible?
I don't know.
As famous, maybe?
I don't know. Like, do you remember the hype around him is when he was in the Magic, even the hype around that dude when he was on the Magic, and then once he was with Kobe, and that was a whole story. I feel he's still famous. Kids still know who he is because he's in commercials and stuff like that. But yes. I mean, there was hype back then.
Yes, I remember him in college when you were just being born, I think.
Yeah, it was a while.
But he and Charles Barkley have somehow have managed to keep almost the same level of stardom from in retirement, which is impressive. So if you want to go hang out with Shaq, though, you can head over to WinBet. They got great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WinBet. For booster parlays to live in-game odds in every major sport, we have what you need to win. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer, risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Bet big, win bigger with WinBet. Download the WinBet app now or visit WynNBet.com. And let's talk about PropSwap. We're brought to you by PropSwap, where America buys and sells sports bets. The NFL playoffs are finally here, and PropSwappers are cashing in. Like Steve from Tennessee, who last week sold his $250 100-to-1 Patriots Super Bowl ticket for $2,500 on PropSwap. Steve locked in his profit when he turned his $250 bet into $2,500. The buyer got great odds, and the seller made 10 times his bet. Except the Bills are going to beat them this week, are they not?
I think so, but...
There you go.
But then again, the Patriots might throw two passes all game and somehow squeak out a win. So
the Bills are technically the home team up here, so I guess I have to cheer for the Bills. they used to play in Toronto once in a while, so they are technically the home team kind of. PropSwap has thousands of buyers across the country, so you always find the best odds and collect the most money for your bets. Hurry and download the free PropSwap app today. PropSwap has fantastic features like filtering listed tickets based on the best value, a free activity feed to stay in the know with all the big sales, and red-hot tickets for sale. A loyalty rewards program that turns your ticket sales into extra bonus cash and a first deposit cash match. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit and PropSwap will match your deposit up to $500. Join the real sports bettors on PropSwap, where America buys and sells sports bets. All right. Shall we break down some fights, some UFC fights?
Let's try our best.
Yeah, I feel a little rusty, but let's get down to it. How did you find – I always like to ask you how you found – breaking down the fight card, but a lot of these fights we haven't had time to really even have sink in. But overall, how was the experience, Dan?
There were a couple I was thought I knew who the underdog would be, and I was like, oh, yeah, you'd probably get good money on that underdog. And then I looked, and it wasn't the underdog, and then that threw me for a loop. And then I was like, oh, I should probably go back to actually watching people's old fights and breaking them down like that. So, I found a couple of them really weird to break down and a couple of them quite easy.
Yeah, I would suggest listening to the prelim primer to help sort out your thoughts, but it didn't help. Sorry, I listened to it today. It just didn't help, and the host says to skip it, so...
tell people to skip on podcasts, but on this one, three of the fights are not there.
Oh, it's true. Yeah, you just do the prelim. Yeah, I wasn't even jokingly. I wasn't even thinking. Yes, you just do the prelim. So yeah, you really got hit hard.
Yeah, half that podcast is irrelevant.
Oh well, that's the way of the world. We thought we were past this, but we were not. Everything is closed here again. Schools are closed. Gyms are closed. Arenas are empty. It's fun, but let's talk about the fights. Let's not dwell on how amazing the world is right now. What else? I think I was going to tell people. Let me think. Oh, I have a new stat for us. See if Dan has an opinion on this. Our consensus pick stands. How do you think the picks where you and I both agreed on the winner of a fight, how do you think we did last year? Our consensus picks we had, let me see how many we had. About 300 because we like doing math on the show, 364 fights we agreed on last year. What do you think our hit percentage was on those?
I'm going to say we did better than our otherwise average. Yep. And I'll say we hit 66%. How about that?
60%.
Okay. Still good though.
Yeah, which is what I hit for the year, thank you very much, but is not what you hit. So I guess the moral of the story is you should always follow along with me, Dan, because you can improve your odds by 5%. So I should pick first.
Or that just fight, means right? Most of the ones that you're scoring on are the ones that you suddenly tailed me on.
No, that doesn't happen. The main issue, starting in the year, we were horrendous. I know we talked about it often, but going back through the numbers, man, what was the issue? Did we not have
it enough? Was that crazy run of underdogs. The year started out with what looked like just brutal matchmaking with a whole bunch of favorites at, the negative, 250 range, which, by the way, if you look at this fight card, there are almost no favorites like that, with the exception of one fight that just got made. And I think when the odds come out for the one that also just got made, you might see that. But, like, the biggest favorite was, like, you're seeing, like, 170, which is not big. So, yeah, I would say, you know, the matchmaking back then seemed like it was worse, or at least the books thought it was worse. And then the underdogs just hit like crazy.
Yep, it's true. Plus, more fights, I get to put more numbers into my spreadsheets, and our stats get even stronger, the stats that we rely on to pick fights. So, so what I'm saying is we're not going to get off to a slow start. We're going to come out of the gate on fire here, and we're going to start things off with, you said this fight is, we'll go Brian Kelleher, Kevin Kroom. You said this is up at 145, right, featherweight?
That is my understanding, is that Kroom, I don't know if Kroom can even make 35, but Kelleher has shown a willingness to fight at 45.
Yeah, Kelleher has bounced back and forth between featherweight and bantamweight. Kroom has fought everywhere from bantamweight up to lightweight. I think his last fight was lightweight, or recently he fought lightweight. So, short notice, too. Interesting. That's right, short notice. So that would be why he would want it at featherweight. Right. That makes sense. All right, Kevin Kroom must be a cousin of Dan, because he's the hard-hitting killjoy. Could he possibly be a cousin of yours?
Definitely
not. Where's
he
from? You know where he's from?
I don't know exactly, but I do know that I once saw him fight in a CES main event against Matt Bissett, where he was brutalized in it.
Really? He's from Columbia, Missouri. That's not hillbilly country, is it?
I don't know the part of Missouri he's from, so I can't comment on that. But I would say I would not be surprised for there to be hillbilly-like parts in Missouri somewhere. Like, I mean, it's like a Midwestern place. There's probably some seedy back, but there's hillbilly places in Massachusetts that we've talked about. There's definitely some in Missouri as well.
126,000 people, so I don't know if you can be a hillbilly and you live in a pretty big city. Dan could be a hillbilly, because how many people live where you live, Dan?
I 20? Know that the town that I grew up in had about 1,000, little short of 1,000 people. The one I live in now is like it's like 1,300 or 13,000 instead. So it's
you're moving up.
Yeah, quite a bit bigger. Big city living with 13,000.
Exactly. All right. I am wasting so much time this podcast. Let's get through some fights here. Kevin Kroom, hard-hitting hillbilly would be the name. He's taking this in very short notice. He took this fight just as of now, Wednesday, and Dan says he's flying. No, we don't know if he's flying or not. Where does he fight out of? Here's another side.
Yeah, I think
Glory.
He's a Glory guy. I think he does train out of Glory, but Glory has guys there. I think he's probably already there. Yeah, because TJ Brown fights out of Glory, who we'll talk about a little bit later on. Joseph Holmes does some cross training at Glory. So I'm assuming they had a mixture of people ready to go there already.
Right. And how come it's not Coach? How come Coach isn't offering to throw his hat in to fight at featherweight?
I'm sure he did.
Featherweight may be tough for James Krause, but anyhow. All right, Kevin Kroom, 21-13, one no contest. 6 knockouts, 10 submissions. Dan saw one of the 13, right? Of the 21 and 13 record.
I did indeed, yes.
He's been knocked out 4 times. Was he knocked out when you saw him?
It was a damaged TKO where he had just gotten beat into a bloody pulp for far too long.
Yeah. Oh, that hard-hitting hillbilly. So he's been knocked out 4 times. He's been submitted 4 times. He's 0-1 with one no contest in the UFC. Lost his last fight. He technically won his first fight, but he smokes the hillbilly marijuana, and he got busted for it back when that was illegal for fights. So he's really 1-1 in the UFC for our purposes here. He also fought in Bellator, where he was 2-1. He also was the FAC and the SFC champ, if that means anything to anyone. And as I said before, he's fought at lightweight, featherweight, and bantamweight. This one's right in the middle at featherweight. He's got 5 inches of height on Kelleher, 7 inches of reach. So he is going to be quite the longer man. There is no odds for this fight. Is it even officially been announced yet? I'm not sure if it has.
It's been announced by like all of the people who I would typically deem it to be official. You know, like Marcel Dorf and the likes have all confirmed that it has been agreed to. I think the only hurdle we're waiting on is the commission. you know, usually the commission might have an issue with the fight for some, you know, reason or another. But, yeah, I think barring the commission getting pretty mad at it, this fight seems to be going forward. So are we down to the part where we break it down now? I'm rusty here.
No, not yet, Dan. I'm taking my time here.
Okay.
Brian Kelleher, boom, Kelleher, 23-12, 8 knockouts, 10 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted 6 times, so that would be the Achilles heel, the submission. And Karim is good at submissions. So he's 7-5 in the UFC. He's gone 2-2 over his last 4. And we have a pattern, Dan, our first pattern of the day. Loss, win, loss, win. He won his last fight. He's fought at bantamweight and featherweight. He's the ROC champ. I think that's Ring of Combat, I think, and WC MMA champ also. He also was in Bellator. He went 0-2. Striking stats in his favor, plus he's 3 times more active striking, or just about 3 times more active, a little less. Grappling stats in his favor as well. I got to go with Kelleher taking, even though he's going to be quite smaller man here. Late replacements only win 39% of the time. And this is a very late replacement. Plus Kelleher's got striking and the grappling in his favor. So he is my.
Yeah, he's going to be my pick too.
I don't know what the number will be.
He's going to be my pick too. I just think in general, what I like about Brian Kelleher is that, I mean, like, he's a really gritty veteran who, you know, fights in a way that drags people into situations they don't want to be in. He doesn't make a whole heck of a lot of mistakes. Like, he has gotten a lot safer. If you watch that fight with Domingo Pilarte, he did a good job of staying out of any exchange that wasn't going to work for him. You know, you mentioned that he's got an issue with submission losses. He actually hasn't lost by submission since 2018. And that was to Montel Jackson, who's, you know, pretty damn good on the ground and was kind of dominating them and beating them up anyway. And I'm not sure I would even attribute that to the submission game. And his only other submission loss in the UFC was to Marlon Vera, who, again, he was winning that fight. He knocked down Marlon Vera with a punch, and Marlon Vera, as he dove in, caught him with an armbar. So, you know, yeah, he's got some submission losses back on the regional circuit, back in CFFC, and back when he was a brand new fighter. But, like, I actually think his submission defense is pretty good. I think his wrestling is probably a little underrated. It looked pretty good against Domingo Pilarte. I think he's going to be faster than Kroom, harder to hit than Kroom. You know, Kroom is a guy who goes in there and just slugs, and I don't see him as having a particular lot of KO power in here. So unless he tags Kelleher and gets him wobbly and then goes for a submission, I don't really see a real clear path to victory here for Kroom. So I'm going to go with Kelleher, but again, I think I really want to see what this line is, because it could come out Kelleher is a massive favorite. I could also see people seeing the size thing and going with Kroom.
Yep. So you're saying Kroom, someone named the hard-hitting hillbilly just comes out and slugs, does he?
Yeah, like, shocking, right, that his nickname is that. He's also gone by the nickname Crash before, which is it's very fitting, too, right? Like,
yeah,
he fights with that style. He just puts his foot on the gas and waits for metal to hit metal.
I will not accept that nickname over hard-hitting hillbilly, though. So. For our purposes, he shall remain the HHH, the Triple H of MMA. All right, lightweights. Dakota Bush versus Vyacheslav Borshev. You may know him as Slava Claus, making his UFC debut, versus Dakota Harry Bush. We got a couple all-time nicknames here, Dan, which is good to see.
Yeah, and we got a better one coming up later, too.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention, there are quite a few nicknames I may steal on this podcast. Hard-hitting Hillbilly is a good one. Slava Claus is a good one. Harry's a good one. None of them. Well, Harry Fox, I guess, kind of makes sense. But as of now, I'm still Hobocop, which I heard Connor from, what's that podcast called, Dan? Heavy Hands. He said Hobocop last episode. But I've never heard him say that before. So obviously, it's catching on.
He stole it from you. He stole it from you.
Obviously. All right. Let's break down Dakota Bush first. He's 8-3, 2 knockouts, 4 submissions. Never been finished in a fight. 0-1 the UFC. Used to fight down a weight class at featherweight. Despite that, he will have 4 inches of reach on Mr. Slava Claus. He's also 2 years younger than him. Grappling stats in his favor. We're talking small sample size for both men. One fight for each. He's at plus 155. Borshev, 5-1, 4 knockouts. Never been finished in a fight. This will be his UFC debut after winning on Dana White Contender Series. He's won 3 straight fights, all via finish. He's an inch taller than Bush, striking stats in his favor, plus he's almost 3 times more active striker. But like I said, very, the smallest of sample sizes, one fight He's at minus 195. We'll let you pick first.
I'm going to go with Slava Claus. I think 195 is actually a steal here. I think that's a really good value on him because for people who have never seen him fight before, he has exceptional takedown defense and a great ability to get back to his feet after being taken down, which is not for nothing because that's exactly what Harry Bush here wants to do. Dakota Bush wants to take this fight to the ground. He wants to grind him out. And I just think he's going to have a tough time with that. Slava trains with Team Alpha Male, room full of guys who've got great wrestling backgrounds and can put that on him. And he gets right back up in just about all of his fights. And I think the difference in the grappling might slightly, ever so slightly, favor Dakota Bush. But the difference in the striking is not ever so slightly. It is drastic. Slava Claus throws absolute haymakers, puts people's lights out. Go back and watch his Contender Series fight. It is a crazy good knockout against a pretty damn good opponent, too. So, yeah, I'm big on Slava Claus. I think he is – he's just been really impressive to me in his, I think only 6 professional fights at this point in time. But, I think Slava Claus here over Dakota Bush is an easy pick.
But as listeners know, Dan is very biased against the Alpha Male guys. He's always all in on Team Alpha Male. So
that's not even true. For those of you who might be new to the show, I usually dog on Team Alpha Male. I'm like not a big fan of their style. I think all the ones who have come close to winning championships have mostly failed, with the exception of Cody Garbrandt, and whether or not you still classify TJ Dillashaw as there when he won. But a whole bunch of them have come up short. But yeah, no, I'm surprisingly all in on both him and Josh Emmett lately. So maybe Alpha Male's changing my mind ever so slightly.
Like I said, he's all in on Alpha Male. I don't know why he had to reiterate how in he is on him, but he's all in on Alpha Male. All right, let's break down this fight quickly while it's possibly still happening. Lightweights, Charles Rosa versus TJ Brown. TJ Brown is downtown TJ Brown, and Charles Rosa's Boston Strong. He's the guy that's on a plane, you said, heading, I guess, from Boston to Las Vegas.
I think he was as of this morning. So, he probably should be in Vegas by now. I didn't check the media day stuff yet and whether or not he was part of it. But yes, my understanding is he was flying very recently.
Okay. Did you see him fly over your house, Dan?
I did not.
Your house isn't really the route to Las Vegas, so you're kind of out of the way, I guess. So, all right. I didn't either. So he's 14-6, 3 knockouts, 8 submissions, 5-6 in the UFC. Okay, talk about patterns. Listen to this one, Dan. Loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. Every one of his UFC fights, he's switched back and forth. 11 straight fights, he swapped losses and wins. He lost his last fight. So does that mean we have to pick him here? It's very difficult because he's taking this on very short notice, as we mentioned. This is lightweight. He's fought up a weight class and down a weight class. He's been at welterweight and he's been at featherweight. He's at plus 220 for this fight. Downtown TJ Brown, 15-8, 4 knockouts, 9 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times. He's been submitted 3 times. 1-2 in the UFC. He did win his last fight, though, after dropping his first 2. He was 1-0 in the Contender Series. He used to fight down a weight class at featherweight, but he had multiple weight cut issues and missing weight there, so now he's up at lightweight. He was 1-0 as a pro boxer. He's got 3 inches of reach on Rosa, 4 years younger. Striking and active striking stats in his favor, minus 280. I'm going to go against my better judgment and take TJ Brown here because of such a short notice, plus all those striking stats and the reach in his favor. But it's hard to ignore an 11-fight pattern.
Yeah, well, I will also say this, too. So you mentioned him going up in weight in the issues of the weight cut. I think that favors him more in this fight because actually while Charles Rosa is a better pure grappler when it comes to like the submission game, I actually think TJ Brown is like a better wrestler, and having a little bit extra weight on him is going to help him out here. And also remember, he was already in shape for a fight that was supposed to be at 145. So he thought he was going to have to cut an extra 10 pounds. He might have to cut nothing right now. Like he might already be on weight. Whereas I don't know where Charles Rosa is at, but like he might have to do work to get to 55 still. Even though he's used to making 45, his walk around weight is probably up in the 160s and stuff like that. So I think he's probably going to have to do work, whereas TJ Brown might already be at that weight. I'll also say this, TJ Brown's work at Glory MMA for me has been a huge selling point. Like, he came out in those first two fights, I thought he looked really bad. With the exception of some of his wrestling against Jordan Griffin, he looked like he didn't belong in the UFC at all. And then I dogged him in the next fight, and he looked amazing. He looked really good. His striking looked sharp. He came out, he won a split decision over Kai Kamaka, which in the, you know, doesn't sound great, especially with Kai Kamaka leaving and going to Bellator. But he looked so improved in that fight. His wrestling looked better. His boxing looked better. And I think he's going to have a boxing advantage here against Rosa. And I also think he'll be able to dictate where the fight goes. I think that's why you see the odds so wide. You know, you mentioned, Charles Rosa taking this on short notice. We don't know what he looks like. But I maybe would hesitate to, like, pull the trigger on that number on TJ Brown. I really liked him at plus money against Gabriel Benitez. But at this big of a favorite against, you know, Charles Rosa is tough. I don't think it's, like, interesting for me playing-wise.
Right. We will have a new segment at the end where we will be giving out our recommended plays, where we'll be betting a pretend $100, because $100 is not enough for us. We bet way more than that in real life, obviously. Right, Dan?
That's, of course, yeah.
Of course. for you lightweights out there, we will do that. And, yeah, this is probably not a recommended play by either of us. So before we move on, let me tell you about Better Fantasy. The fantasy season may be over, but the action is still coming on the Better Fantasy app. Download the free-to-play app today to get bet on player props for the NFL playoffs. You can also enter the player prop pools and score big when you win. We love Better Fantasy because we can win awesome prizes and even raise some money for charity along the way, too. It's totally free-to-play. You'll earn better credits by completing challenges and using them to place your bets. Better Fantasy is available worldwide in all 50 states. So download the app today over at betterfantasy.com/SGPN. That's BETTOR fantasy.com/SGPN. All right. This one, I'm flip-flopping on it, Dan. I think you flip-flopped on it too. Court McGee versus Ramiz Brahimaj. Did you flip-flop on it?
Never flip-flop once in my life. So take that.
Called out on it. He's not wishy-washy. He's not Charlie Brown. He's not wishy-washy. This would be Court McGee versus Ramiz, like I said, Ramiz Brahimaj at welterweight. This is pretty much a pick 'em fight, so I guess it's fitting that I'm flopping on it. Let's tell you about Brahimaj, who is the slight underdog. Let's tell you about him first. He's 9-3 with 9 submissions, so every one of his wins have come via submission. Court McGee's never been submitted. He's been knocked out once, and that's it. Never submitted. Brahimaj 1-1 in the UFC. He won his last fight via, what do you think, Dan?
Brahimaj won his last fight by submission.
Yes, there you go. We got a pattern. Are we gonna go against patterns two times in a row, Dan? Loss, win, loss, win, loss, win. So even when he wasn't in the UFC, he was swapping losses and wins. He's 8 years younger than McGee. I think I may start tracking maybe 5 years and over in an age gap and see if there's a huge discrepancy in that. You think 5 years is a good number, or should I do a different number?
That's a pretty substantial difference.
Yeah. And what about reach? About the same? 5-inch reach, 6-inch reach? Like,
I think 3 is pretty significant, to be honest with you.
Substantial reach advantage in your eyes.
Just 3 is substantial, yeah, for me. Yeah, that's a lot of reach.
All right. That's a lot of reach. All right. That may be a good title, Dan. That's a lot of reach. I'm always certain. That's always what is in the back of my head. The whole podcast is, okay, do we have an alternate title yet? And Dan may have dropped a good one there. What else? Brahimaj has the grappling stats in his favor. He is a submission expert, after all. He's at -110. Court McGee, do you know what his nickname is? I've never heard him have a nickname until
the Crusher.
Yeah,
the Crusher McGee. It's not. No, he had that on the Ultimate Fighter way back in the day.
Really? Okay. It all comes back to
the Ultimate Fighter.
He's 20-10, 5 knockouts, 5 submissions. He's been finished once in a fight, which is pretty insane. 30 fights, he's been knocked out once. He's 9-9 in the UFC. He's only won one of his last 4 fights. However, it was his very last fight. He was in the Ultimate Fighter, as you mentioned. Middleweight season, he went 3-1 and was the champ. How did he lost? Did he get back in the injury replacement? I can't remember that.
Yeah, I think that's the first year they did the wild card where, like, two good losers got a chance to fight again. Okay. So they gave him and I think it was James Hammertree a chance to fight again.
So Cormac McGee's nickname should be a good loser, possibly. He's a good loser. And I've never heard of a Hammertree guy before. Are you sure that's a real person?
Yes, I'm positive James Hammertree is, but you'll have to fact check me on whether or not that's who got the other wild card spot.
He made his UFC debut back in 2010. He also was a pro boxer where he went 2-0. We're talking about McGee, not this fake mythical Hammertree guy. He's an inch taller than Brahimaj, 3 inches of reach, which Dan says is significant. Striking and active striking stats in the favor, minus 115. I think we told the boss to bet on Brahimaj in this one. Are we still sticking with that, Dan? I think I am, but I'm not positive. Cause
is it your turn to go first? No, I went first. You went first on TJ Brown. All right, I am going to take Ramiz Brahimaj. Right. And I haven't flip-flopped on him at all. He's one of my favorite picks for this whole week. I think the difficult thing for a lot of people is that Cormac McGee has never been submitted and Ramiz has never won without submitting somebody. But that's not to say Ramiz's style is not conducive to winning a decision or Ramiz doesn't have good boxing. Like, some of his wins were set up by his boxing. He's got really great control on the ground. He just also hunts submissions really well. McGee, while being a good wrestler and a good grinder and like that guy who has great will, is also, I think, sometimes not got the best game plan. I think a lot of people forget this dude didn't shoot a takedown on Carlos Condit, which was one of that's one of the weirdest game plans I've ever seen. So, yeah, I think Ramiz Brahimaj has the advantage here in the wrestling. I think he has the advantage in the game plan. I think he has the advantage with the hands and all of that, and you're going to get him as an underdog here, like a very slight underdog here. So, yeah, I'm all over Ramiz Brahimaj at that price.
And he's the right-hand man at Fortis MMA, which shouldn't be overlooked either.
Like an assistant coach and cornerman for a lot of different fighters at that gym too. So again, when I'm talking about how good his fight IQ is, that's a part of it too. Is that he's basically a coach.
Exactly. So we're going against trends again, but we're going to be ruining the day that we went against these trends, Dan, because. We just don't learn our lesson. We try to pick with their brains instead of just being like, well, this is a stupid back and forth trend going on, so we should just follow that. But no, we pick with who we think actually is better. And it'll probably bite us. Watch. But you say you're all in on this one. This may be one of your preferred bets at the end, possibly. All right. Main event time. Middleweights main event of the prelims, which are on ESPN+. I forgot to mention. 4 p.m. Eastern in the main event, the main card, ESPN and ESPN Plus at 7 Eastern this Saturday, January 15th from the UFC Apex in Enterprise, Nevada. All right, Jamie Pickett versus Joseph Holmes, who does not want to be called Joseph Holmes. He wants to be called Ugly Man Joe. I guess twice, is that right?
Yeah.
I've
had him on multiple times, and he has pointed out that he wants to be called Ugly Man Joe and just Ugly Man Joe. So,
and it is false advertising because he is not ugly, really.
He's got a sweet mustache.
Yes, he's a good looking gentleman. I think he has a bunch of kids, too, so obviously someone finds him not ugly. So, yes, he insists on being Ugly Man Joe. So he's fighting Jamie Pickett, who has no nickname. Pickett, 12-6, 8 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out himself once, submitted twice. He's 1-2 in the UFC. He won his last fight, so he's another guy who dropped 2, and then the UFC saw enough in him to give him another shot. He was 1-2 in the Contender Series, too. You don't see a lot of guys get 3 shots in the Contender Series. What's the story behind that? Is there a story behind that?
If you know it, I'd love to hear it, because it didn't make any sense to me. I mean, like, he lost to 2 guys who got contracts and looked good doing it, but, like, they look good at his expense, so.
Yeah. Strange. Maybe it's because he was the NLFC champ. Could that be it?
I doubt it.
We don't know what that is, because I can't remember. He used to fight up at light heavyweight. He's almost 2 times more active striking than Holmes, but we're talking 1 fight for Holmes on the Contender Series that we're basing his stats on. Pickett, plus 125. I keep saying Holmes. That's not his name. His name's Ugly Man Joe. Excuse me. Ugly Man Joe, 7-1, 2 knockouts, 5 submissions. So everything is a finish. He's also never been finished in a fight. So all of his fights are within the distance. He's taking this short notice debut fight. Yeah, when did he step in here? It's been a few weeks, right?
It was in December, actually. So, I mean, like, probably flirting with your definition of it, because he knew about it for the holidays. I know that to be a fact.
Yeah, I sure noticed for people who haven't listened before, I don't know why you would have skipped the first 106 episodes. But anyhow, sure notice a month or less than a month. Notice for a fight, I consider short notice. But this this fight card, that's laughable because people are taking it on three days notice. All right, what haven't I told you? He was on the Contender Series where he won. That was part of a 7-fight winning streak, all of them via finish, obviously, because all he does is finish fights. So he dropped his debut fight, which was in Bellator, and then he's won 7 straight fights since then. So he's 1-1 in Bellator. He also used to fight up a weight class and down a weight class, so he fought at 205 and 170. He's 2 inches taller than Pickett, 7 years younger. Grappling stats in his favor, but take that with a big grain of salt because it's based on one fight. Minus 155. I'm going with the ugly man, Dan. I am taking ugly man Joe. This may be one of my inside the distance prop bets also, since everything's inside the distance with this guy because he's a wild man.
Yeah, ugly man Joe, really good finishing instinct. Both his hands are really good. His submission skills are really good. I like him in this fight against Pickett because Pickett has really struggled with people who can put him on his back. And I think Joseph Holmes can do that. I am a little bit worried about his pressure and whether or not it's enough there because Pickett gets wild and just, like, throws haymakers. But ultimately, I think even if he does get wild and starts to back up Holmes a little bit, Holmes has also got the hands. He picked up a big knockout on Dana White's Looking for a Fight for Fury FC. He knocked out Jonathan Potty, who, ironically, is the one person Jamie Pickett did beat on Contender Series. So they actually got their contracts by beating the same guy. I think Holmes' counter-striking is a little bit better. So in that case, if Pickett does get wild and turn it into a slugfest, I think Holmes is the answer there too. So yeah, I'm going to go with Holmes there as well. Does that mean so far we went the entire prelims, both the same and without an underdog?
Technically, we took a minus 110 underdog.
Yeah, we took – it's a shame too because I had – now looking back at it, I had TJ Brown to beat Gabriel Benitez on the prelims, which was an underdog play. I had Brian Kelleher to beat Sadia Cobb Krakramanov, which would have been an underdog play. And now I have those two winning still, but now they're like massive favorites and I look like an idiot. So yeah, there we go. No dogs except for a very slight one in Ramiz, and we're agreeing across the board.
It is confirmed Dan does look like an idiot. As I mentioned a few podcasts back, he does everything naked, so he definitely looks like an idiot right now. Right, Dan? Now you're going to tell me you have 50 sweaters on because you're in your basement and it's cold.
It is quite cold. I have a blanket over my feet and two sweatshirts and some warm pants as well. Yeah, it's chilly down there. It's like 2 degrees in Massachusetts.
Dan's got to pay his heating bill, I think. All right, so if we hit 60%, like we do in the past, so we whiffed on a couple fights on the prelims. It's up to you, listeners, to figure out which two fights we whiffed on, and you can skip those fights, right?
I mean, just trust us. This year is different.
Oh, it's not. It's going to be 100%, maybe. All right, we're going to go main card, but first, last couple sponsors. So bet. Since when did sports betting become so rigid? Sports betting is meant to be social. When I picture betting, I picture bootleggers with mustaches tossing bets around in a speakeasy. SoBet is taking the social lineage of betting and putting a modern twist on it by providing a modern platform. SoBet is changing the game with their new product. Head over to SoBet.io and create an account to see for yourself. Through the fully functioning and free web application, you can access a demo of their app, which will launch next fall. The app includes consensus lines from Vegas, a feed of what other people are betting on, and the ability to send friendly wagers to anyone you know via text, QR codes, and links, among other methods. Do you know what all those things mean, Dan? You're a millennial. You probably do, right?
Yeah, I know what just about everything you say means.
There you go. No money is transacted on the app and it's purely competitive. Next time you're with your friends watching sports, turn the dial up a notch. Go to SoBet.io and see who can hit the most ridiculous bets. Users have the ability to place bets off Vegas odds or generate a bet by changing any metric they want as long as somebody is in on the other side to accept. Let's get back to the roots of betting with SoBet. Go to SoBet.io SGPN. That's SOBET.io/SGPN today. Join the revolution. And SGPN, obviously, you should have our app if you don't already. Go and download our app. Give us an amazing review. We're in the App Store and Google Play. Gives you easy access to all our picks. Plus, you can listen to this very podcast on the app, and you will know when the podcast drops because you can have notifications turned on your app. And make sure if you're not already, that you are also subscribing to our MMA Gambling Podcast feed so you can get our podcast the second it drops. Because especially with this week, it will be irrelevant about 5 minutes after it drops. You want to listen to it right away. So grab our app, download that, give us a review, listen, be a buddy, subscribe to our feed. Give us good reviews on our feed too, why don't you? And then everything will be lovely. All right, go to the main card. I forgot to mention, you can read an amazing report on Slava Borshev over on MMA-manifesto.com right now, which Mr. Gumby wrote. I think one of your, wasn't your underdog pick, didn't your underdog pick, wasn't that Cock Romanov?
No, I took Ramiz.
Oh, good. You took Ramiz. Right. Yeah, Cock Romanov wasn't a underdog. Okay, good. I was going to make Dan do more work for free, which I'm sure he would be a big fan of. All right, let's move on, Dan. Main card time. You ready?
Yeah, I'm good.
This is a fight that may happen. Is it still happening, Dan?
As of now? Right now, I'm watching closely. It is still currently happening.
All right, I should talk fast. It's featherweights. Bill Algeo, Joe Anderson, Brito, B-R-I-T-O, though. Ugh. Let's call him Tubero. Tubero? Is that how you say it? Tubero? Do you know what that means, Dan?
It's Tirbao, if I'm
Tirbao,
not mistaken.
That's right. It's like Henan Bao, Barao.
Which I'm pretty sure in this case means big turbo.
I thought you were going to say big turd. No, shark. It means shark, apparently. When I looked it up, at least, it means shark. You sound very like your question.
No, you're Google Translate. You could be right. Yeah, I'll trust you on that one. Sure. I just anything ending in AO in Portuguese usually means something big. So maybe it's big shark. Yeah.
Maybe baby shark could be.
It
baby
wouldn't
shark.
Be baby because that would be turbino.
Were your kids into baby shark, Dan? Or
not
was that
really.
Before they were born?
Not really. I mean, it's still kind of around, but like, it's not their most favorite thing.
My kids were too old, thank God. All right. Blitu is fighting Bill Algeo, who is Senior Perfecto, which is a very good nickname. As I cough, one moment. All right. Senior Perfecto, 14-6, 3 knockouts, 6 submissions. Do these new mics do have a cough button I could have used, I guess, don't they?
They have a mute button. The editor's
you should leave it in. People need to know how slapdash this is as I take a drink. All right. Algeo's 14-6, 3 knockouts, 6 submissions, 1-2 in the UFC. We got a pattern. Loss, win, loss, win, loss. He has lost his last fight. He was 0-1 in the Contender Series. What's he doing in the UFC if he can't even win in the Contender Series, Dan?
The guy he lost to on the Contender Series deserved a contract, didn't get one because he shot a weird takedown at a weird moment, and now he's messing people up in PFL. So
who's that again?
Brandon, I'm not going to get his last name right, Lognending.
Oh, yeah. He has some issues with that guy, even though, like,
because he shot a takedown against Bill Algeo with almost no time left to secure a decision.
Yep. Lognending, I think his name is.
Sure, yeah. Say it however you want to.
my family comes from the UK, Dan. I should know how to say names from that part of the world, shouldn't I?
Sure.
I was talking about Algeo, right? Yes. 0-1 the Contender Series. He's the ROC champ. We had our ROC champ earlier, Ring of Combat champ. He's the CFFC champ, so we know those promotions. He was in World Series of Fighting also, where he was 1-0. Or maybe it was PFL, one or the other. It's the same thing. He's got 4 inches of height on Brito, 1 inch of reach, the more active striker of the two, but it's based on one fight Brito had in the Contender Series, plus 108. Over to you. I did Ugly Man Joe first, so it's your pick.
So I'll keep this one short because I'm pretty sure we'll break it down next week too. I'm going to take Joe Anderson Brito. I think part of my issue with Bill Algeo is Bill Algeo gives up takedowns, particularly early in the fight. Brito comes out like a bat out of hell. I think he's going to be up 2-0 pretty easily. And I think it's mostly going to come down to whether or not Algeo has the stamina to hang in there, which he does have phenomenal stamina and he is a really tough dude. Does he have enough where he will wear out Brito and finish him late? I think that's the only reason the line is close. I'm going to say Brito is good enough not to get finished late and is probably going to win this by winning the first and second round.
All right, Brito, we were impressed with him on Contender Series, I believe, right?
Mostly.
He's the guy that we're kind of high on?
He's not one of my guys, I would say that.
Okay, Okay. Yeah. All right. How about these guys, Dan? I don't think either of these guys are your guys either. Heavyweights.
You didn't Jake make Collier. A pick, man. You didn't pick no, anybody there.
Brie 2 is the pick. We are matching each other once again.
Getting quite boring. You're just trying to cop out of that one.
I was. But no, I'm very comfortable picking Brie 2 in this fight. Next fight's kind of eh. This could be a loser-lose-town match. Heavyweights, Jake Collier, Chase Sherman. Yes, both these guys are still in the UFC. Collier is the prototype. What is a prototype for? Is what I'm asking. Dan, do you know?
I don't know the answer to that.
He's a prototype of going from middleweight up to heavyweight somehow.
He used to look like a prototype.
He used to look totally like his picture on Tapology is like he's not the same guy.
Oh yeah.
Because he was probably like 80 pounds less then. He's a prototype for bulking up. He's fighting against the Vanilla Gorilla, which is a lame nickname because everybody has it. Every big white guy, even little white guys have it. So. All right, let's go with Sherman first, 15-8, 14 knockouts. He's been knocked out himself 4 times. He's 3-7 in the UFC, and he still has a job. Over 2 stints, lost his last 2 fights. However, he is the bare-knuckle fighting championship champ, or he was at one point. I don't know if he still is. He's got an inch of height on Collier, 1 year younger, more active striker, plus 108. The prototype, 12-6, 5 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times. 4-5 in the UFC. We got a pattern, Dan. Loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. Every one of his UFC fights, which is pretty insane. He lost his last fight. RFA champ. He used to fight at, as I mentioned, middleweight and light heavyweight. Grappling stats in his favor, minus 135. I can't buck another trend here, Dan. I'm going to have to go with Jake Collier with the getting back in the win column here. This is a kind of an ugly fight to make picks for, though.
This is a very ugly fight to make picks for, and I will tell you something even uglier that was just released on Twitter as I was nosing around to see if anything else got canceled. As of right now, the UFC's official bout order lists this as the co-main event.
Oh, no.
Which I don't...
No way.
They just love heavyweight fights. And it's going to be terrible. With that being said, I'm going to go with Chase Sherman on this one. This is going to be my first different pick from you.
Oh, finally.
Yeah, I like Jake Collier. I think he looked all right against Carlos Felipe. But then again, Chase Sherman, when he fought Parker Porter, he was winning parts of the early rounds by being faster, by being more active, by getting in Parker Porter's face. And then he just tired out. And it was completely uncharacteristic of him. But also Parker Porter has got really good cardio. Whereas in this case, like I said, Jake Collier has got impressive cardio considering his build. But he does not have, like, much better cardio than Chase Sherman, who I think is going to be faster. He's going to have the better boxing. Neither of these guys are going to try to grapple. So if I think Sherman's faster and is probably going to build up a lead, and I really don't think either of these guys are going to land a knockout blow. I don't think Collier has knocked anybody out in 5 years. I'm going to go with Chase Sherman here. I'm going to take the dog money in the weirdest co-main event that 2021 will have ever, or 2022 will have ever seen, and we're only on the first card.
There's no way they're going to make this co-main event. It's insane if they do, but yeah, it's a yucky fight. This fight, however, is not so yucky. We're going from heavyweight down all the way down to flyweight. Brandon Royval versus Rogério Bontorin. Hoyval, I gave him his nickname back. He's Raw Dog. I'm no longer Raw Dog. I am now Hobocop, at least for the time being, but there are a lot of nice choices on this card that I may steal from someone. Bontorin, no nickname. Let's break him down first. He's 17-3 with 1 no contest, 3 knockouts, 11 submissions, so he is a finisher at these lighter weight classes. He's 3-2 in the UFC, won his last fight, used to fight up at bantamweight, had issues making weight even at bantamweight, but apparently he's going to try his hand at, was he at bantamweight last fight? I think he won his last fight, but he missed weight, correct?
We're talking about, I don't remember if it was scheduled for bantamweight or if it got moved.
I'm pretty sure I did the research, and yes, that's the case.
Okay. Yeah, and he missed weight by 2 pounds up at bantamweight for match now.
Yeah, which is interesting.
And I'm looking at a picture of him right now during media day, too. He's looking big.
Yeah, he was 137, and he's going to get down to 126 for this fight. So he's been suspended for drug issues in the past. He also fought in the contender series where he was 1-0. He's at plus 170. Raw dog, Brandon Royval, 12-6, three knockouts, eight submissions. So we got finishers on both sides of the fight here. He's 2-2 in the UFC. Lost his last two fights after winning his first two. He's fought pretty much top shelf competition though. Pantoja and the champ Moreno, and then Kaikara France, and who was his first fight against? Someone good too, I think. He's had
He beat Tim Elliott.
Tim Elliott, there you go. So he's had Tim Elliott. He beat Tim Elliott, Kaikara France, and then lost to the now champ Brandon Moreno, and lost to Alexandra Pantoja. So nothing but the top of the food chain for him. He lost, like I said, his last two fights via knockout, TKO, and submission. He was the LFA champ. He also was on World Series of Fighting, where he went 1-0. 4 inches taller than, or he could have been PFL, like I said. One of these guys, I think, was PFL, and I wrote WSOF. But anyhow, 4 inches of height over Bontorin, 1 inch of reach, striking and active striking stats in his favor, grappling stats in his favor, minus 176. Over to you.
I'm going to take Raw Dog. I think in this fight, the big piece for me is Bontorin is a guy who is a pretty good wrestler, and he does a good job of taking people's backs, but he waits a long time to initiate the grappling. He tries to find some comfort on the feet, sees if he has an advantage there, and then goes to the wrestling. And Royval is a guy who has proven to be both very proficient on the feet, very weird and hard to deal with on the feet, and the type of guy who, if he tags you and you shoot a desperation takedown, he subs you. Most of his wins are by submission. He shoots almost no takedowns of his own. It's all by hitting you hard, having you panic, grapple him, and having him finish you from there. And I kind of think that's what's going to happen to Bontorin here. I think, like, he is the type of person who hangs out on the feet longer than he should. He gets tagged here. He shoots that takedown. If he does so sloppily, I mean, I see Royval getting, you know, that's what he did to Kaikara France, a guy who we're talking about fighting for the title. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Royval here. And I'm pretty comfortable with Royval, too. I'll say my level of comfortability on this pick is pretty high.
Yep. The Raw Dog is my pick as well. This one coming up should be the co-main event. It's listed everywhere else as a co-main event. UFC does not update their website very well, so this we'll just pretend that women's flyweight, Caitlin Chookagian versus Jennifer Maia, will be the co-main event, because at least they're at the top of their division, as opposed to those heavyweight gentlemen who both have at least 1 foot out the door. Caitlin Chookagian is blonde fighter, which is the nickname I think I can steal, Dan, because I'm neither blonde nor a fighter.
Yeah, that would be a pretty bizarre one for you to try to steal,
yep,
for sure.
I am Jeff Blonde Fighter Fox. Going forward, Jennifer Maia has no nickname. This is a rematch. Did you know this is a rematch, Dan? I didn't know.
I did know. Yeah. And
of course you did.
That's probably because the first one wasn't particularly worth watching.
Is Caitlin Chookagian's fights ever worth watching, Dan?
You know,
she's a lovely person, but
people hate on her quite a bit, especially because she, like, kiahs every time she throws a punch, and she throws like 700 in a fight and lands like 22. But I would also say this: I really enjoy watching Caitlin Chookagian grapple. I think people underestimate how good her grappling is. She trains under John Donaher and is trained in like the Blue Basement with the Donaher Death Squad guys, and I know all of those guys aren't there anymore, but she's like a Henzo Gracie-trained grappler, and I want to see if she's got a brown belt from one of those guys. So, I think that is an underrated part of her game that if we saw more of, she would definitely be thought of as a more exciting fighter.
Does she say Kia when she rolls, Dan?
I don't think so. No, not that I've noticed. It would be fun,
all right,
though.
Yes. Let's break it down. 19-7-1, 4 knockouts, 5 submissions for Maia. 4-3 in the UFC. She's gone loss, win, loss, win over her last 4 fights. She did fight for the title. Both these ladies have fought for the title. She's missed weight twice. She lost to Chookagian in 2019 in a very memorable fight. She's 4-2 in Invicta, where she was the champion. She also was a pro boxer, where she went 3-0. Grappling stats in her favor, plus 142. The blonde fighter, actually, she's not. I took that nickname, so she's nothing now. She's 16-4, 2 knockouts, 1 submission. She's lost herself twice via knockout, 9-4 in the UFC. How many of those fights do you think she finished, Dan, of the 9 wins?
The 9 wins in the UFC.
How many UFC finishes does she have? Yeah.
Zero. Yeah.
Yes.
Zero. Yeah. I can't imagine her never finished a fight.
Never finished a fight. She's won her last 2 and 3 of 4. She used to fight up at bantamweight. She was the CFFC champ, I think, at bantamweight and flyweight. She's 1-0 in World Series of Fighting. 5 inches taller than Maya. 4 inches of reach. That's a lot of reach. She's a more active striker of the two, as Dan says. She throws a lot of punches. And the Kia's -180. I'll go with Kia here to win the rematch.
Yeah, I'm going to take the same exact fighter because I don't think either of them have evolved all that much. And in fact, my biggest issue with Jennifer Maya is that clearly her best attribute is her grappling, right? Like, she took down Valentina Shevchenko once and possibly won a round off of her. And then she followed that up by fighting Jessica Ai and pretty much never shooting a takedown, which is just such a bizarre change in game plans. So here against Caitlin Chookagian, the smart thing to do would be to spam takedowns, throw 700 of them in there and to try to keep Chookagian on her back. But I think what she's going to do is box too long and win or lose a lot of rounds by close striking decisions. And Caitlin Chookagian probably going to win this one. And in addition to that, you know, mentioning that Chookagian is good off of her back and good at jujitsu, I think that keeps her safe even if this does hit the mat. So, yeah, I'm going with Chookagian too. Man, I just want to call her Blonde Fighter, but you stole my nickname. So yeah. I'll go with Caitlin as well.
All right. What's her last name again?
Chookagian.
There you go. Dan's choking on Chookagian's name. Featherweights. She got married. She should just take her husband's name to make it easier for you, right?
I didn't know she was married.
Unless he has a difficult name too.
I didn't know he was married, but for sure, yeah.
All right, featherweights. Have we had any rumors about the main event? I think both these guys are all systems go, right? Calvin Kattar, Giga Chookagian. Haven't heard any nasty rumors?
No, they seemed fine at the media day, so I think we're all systems go here.
All right. Calvin Kattar, do you know what his nickname is, Dan?
Yeah, he's the Boston Finisher.
Yes, I'd never heard of that before. This is another one I hadn't has he always had that nickname?
Yes, he has, since he was on the regional circuit like dozens of years ago.
Boy, you can't – we have two Boston strong – we got Boston Strong and Boston Finisher on this here fight card. So Boston's taken over. Calvin Kattar is 22-5, 11 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been submitted once. It's the only time he's been stopped in a fight. He's 6-3 in the UFC. He's won 2 of his last 3. However, his last fight was a hellacious beatdown by Max Holloway, which he lost. He used to fight up at lightweight. He's a more active striker of the two men, +195 coming back for him. Chookagian's a ninja, in case you wonder. That's his nickname. He's 14-2, 9 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been submitted himself once. 7-0 in the UFC. He's won 9 straight fights, 3 of them via 3 straight via TKO. He also used to fight at lightweight. He's 0-1 on the Contender Series. Who do you lose to on Contender Series? He lost to someone I've heard of, I think. Who was it?
No, he lost to Austin Springer, weirdly.
Yeah, okay. I heard of him. He was in the UFC for a bit. Or is he still in the UFC?
I don't know the answer to that question. I know he was on the Ultimate Fighter once upon a time.
Oh, my God. Came back to that again. He was 0-1 in the World Series of Fighting as well. So there's the 2 losses right there. Contender Series, World Series of Fighting. He was famously a pro kickboxer before all of this. He's an inch taller than Kattar, 2 inches of reach, which isn't a lot of reach. Striking stats in favor, -250. You get to go first.
I'm going to take Calvin Kattar. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to take Giga Chookagian.
Damn.
I had you good there.
Yeah, I was ready to jump on you.
No, I like Giga Chookagian here. The big problem for me in this fight for Calvin Kattar, and I do like the Boston guy, the big problem for me is that basically he fought a long-rangey kickboxer who boxed the shit out of his head nonstop for 25 minutes, so bad that he had a concussion that left him out for, get this, 364 days, almost a year to the day he was out because of the concussion from Max Holloway. And what did they pair him up with for his return? A long-rangey kickboxer who is better at boxing than him. It seems like the worst possible matchup. Sure, could he go to his wrestling? He can try, but I actually think Giga deals with that pretty well, too. So, yeah, I'm going with Giga all day here. I think he handles him pretty well. And I actually think because of Giga's power and what's maybe at stake for him, granted they did give that fight to Korean Zombie already, I actually think he probably goes out there looking for a finish a little bit more even than Max did.
All righty. There you go. That's my pick as well. I see I'm trying to get out of stuff again, but yes, that is my pick as well.
One difference? Just one difference? Just
one
a big
fight,
voice?
Yeah, one fight. Wait. Yeah. Wild. Wild. All right, now for everyone's favorite part of the podcast, or tied for the favorite part, right? The MVP, I'm naming it now, the most valuable props and parlays. So MVPP. Or do you want to make our our recommended plays first, so I don't steal any of your prop picks? But
yeah, let's go with recommended plays, because I don't think in all of that I'm going to give you props that I like anyway. And if you want to throw we'll throw the 10-1 parlay at the end too. We'll cut out the props, because we'll have other props here in our recommended plays.
All right, so recommended plays, we got $100 to spend. I'll let you go first. We'll go back and forth if you want. You can go first with your first bet.
Okay, so for my first bet on my recommended plays, I'm going to take 40 of my $100, and I'm going to put that 40 on Ramiz Brahimi straight up to win -110.
Okay. Brahimi. Excellent. Got it. All right, I'm going to take $40 sounds good. 40 of the same, $40, Slava Klaus, Borshev. Line straight up. That's my pick. He's at -195 against the Harry Bush. So Borshev, $40 going on him to win.
All right, and I'm going to follow that up by riding that pick, but I'm also going to play it as a prop. I'm going to take Slava Claus, except for I'm going to take the KO prop on Slava Claus, which I'm finding at +120. I'm going to put $30 $30 on Slava Claus by KO.
All right, let me make sure I get your plus. You saw that? You said all right.
Plus 120. Plus
120.
Yep.
120. Excellent. All right. I'm going to. I didn't think I was going to take any props off, but there was a couple that jumped out. Let me just check. I know people love when we look things up on air, but I'm thinking Roybal and Bontorin within the distance. I think I'm going to take this fight. All right, we'll go. How much did I bet? 40 already? Let's go $20 under 1.5 rounds at +124. Roybal and Bontorin.
Okay. I like that total. And it wouldn't be crazy if that happened. I've got $30 left. Can I put a $30 contingent bet on this? Here's how I want to bet this one. I want to bet, and you tell me if this is allowed, because this is a brand new segment. Can I bet Joe Anderson Brito? And if that fight doesn't happen, can I have a backup bet in there just in case, so I don't wind up just getting a weird push? I'm gonna take Joe Anderson Brito. At what did you quote his number at? -130?
Yep.
Okay. So I'll take him at -135. And I will say that if that fight doesn't happen for some reason and my fight gets pushed, I'm going to take that same 30. I'll turn it around and put that same 30 on Caitlin Chookagian. Just straight up money line, Caitlin Chookagian.
All right. I will allow it. You're getting extra recommended plays from Dan. There you go. I think I'm going with the Chookagian fight as well. I'm going to take, I got 60. Let's put, do I want to do this? Let's see what the line is. Yeah, the line's not very good.
You thinking about that fight goes to distance? Yeah, it's like negative.
Yeah, obviously. Let's see what Chookagian wins by decision. All right, let's call $40. Chookagian via decision -110.
That's a pretty
good number. That's a pretty good number. All right, so in conclusion, my picks, $40, Slava Claus to win outright, $20 under a round and a half for the Brandon Roybal, Rogério Bontorin fight, and then $40, Caitlin Chookagian to win a decision victory at minus 110. I forgot to write decision here. 1 second. All right. And Dan's picks are $40, Ramiz Abrahamaj to win money line, $30, knockout Slava Claus, $30, Jo Anderson Brito to win money line. If that fight falls through, he's got $30 on Caitlin Pukagi in money line. Right.
That's it.
All right. So there you go. Thank you, fan. Old Man Nate or something, Nate or Nat, Alabama Nat on Twitter. Thank you for giving us that idea. That's more fun than us whiffing on our guaranteed lock picks every week, which I guess we weren't whiffing, but we weren't really winning money on that. So, all right, let's go MVPP, most valuable props and parlays from the Gumby man. Throw some out there for us.
So I think we hit the props probably already that we like, right? Like you say Chokagian by decision. I'd ride that one too, and I like Slava Claus by KO. So those are ones that we like. As far as the parlay, you guys like the 10-1 DGEN parlay. The 10-1 DGEN parlay for this week, I'm going to take Ramiz Brahimi, who is a recommended play of mine, along with Slava Claus. I'm going to take the money line on Slava Claus and Jo Anderson Brito. All three of those recommended plays, although I had the Slava KO prop, you add them straight up. So I take Brahimi, Borshashev, and Brito, the three Bs, if you will, pair them with Chase Sherman, and that's going to give you 10-1. So there you have it right there. Four fighters, 10-1 odds.
Wow, only four fights. Amazing. And Dan hit, what was that? That was plus
1,300, baby.
Wow. That's a lot of reach, Dan. That's a lot of reach. All right. I guess we should probably get this one up and on the air because things are probably going to change if we don't hurry up, right? And this will be
things are already
useless at the prelim primer. We don't want to be another useless prelim primer podcast. Listen, prelim primer, it's a good podcast regardless, even if that COVID thing threw a wrench in everything on Dan this week. Who do we got on the Top Turtle podcast? Dan's other podcast.
So that'll be coming out later tonight. By the time you hear this, it will probably be available. You can listen to my interviews with Cody Stamen and Jasmine Jezudavicius, who both fight next weekend at UFC 270, which has now become a little bit more crowded.
Double J, Canadian, correct?
St. Catharines? Yeah, she is. She's from St. Catharines, yes. Ontario.
There we go. All right. Which is where I would go through if I was on my way to visit Dan, which I never will do. Because Dan and I do not like other people, right, Dan?
That's correct.
That is correct. All right, let's put this one to bed. Like I said, get it in your ears as soon as you can. Well, if you're hearing this, it's already in your ears, so duh. I will have a write-up of all my picks tomorrow on the sportsgamblingpodcast.com website. I guess I'll have to hold off, though, writing that, because things are moving as we speak. It's a fluid situation, you could say. Make sure you listen to Dan's Top Turtle MMA podcast. And normally you should listen to Prelim Primer, especially on the weeks where he makes me fill in with him. And I don't back out on him. You can read our stuff, sportsgamblingpodcast.com, MMA-manifesto.com. Subscribe to the MMA Gambling Podcast feed. Follow us on Twitter, Jeff Fox Writer, and he is Gumby Vreeland. I think that's it, right? Is that it?
That does it.
And we'll be back on Sunday where we will recap how we did. Hopefully we can kick off the year on the right foot as opposed to last year. So until then, he is Gumby Vreeland. I am Blonde Fighter Jeff Fox, and we'll talk to you on Sunday.